we're humbled before you because of your great work upon us, Lord. We can stand here before you and adore you and praise you and glorify your holy name. Indeed, you are worthy of all of our praise this morning, all of our adoration, Lord. Be glorified, be honored in our midst, and not only here in our midst, but in the world. Lord, we take your name wherever we go to bear your name, because you bore our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This morning, as you turn in your bulletin, to the back of the bulletin, you'll find the sermon outline there. And I hope you would keep in context of our message this morning being the revival in the home. Revival in the home. And my passage of scripture that I'm going to be looking at this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7 this morning. Let's just ask God's blessing on His Word this morning as we address it this morning. Lord, we know that Your Word is sharper than a double-edged sword, and it cuts asunder the bone and marrow and separates even soul and spirit, so sharp, so precise is Your Word and its communication to us this morning. Lord, even by Your Spirit's work, may You cut apart our hearts, our lives, and open them up to Your Spirit's work, that we might be empowered and transformed before You to be Your holy people. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name today. Amen. Reading here from 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are our daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate of your as you live your to your wives, and treat them with respect and as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." May God bless the reading of His Word to us this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture and understand it in way of our context in our world today. Again, this is following from the Calvary Road book that we've been promoting in our church. This book is a great encouragement towards revival. Revival being that of the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon us, that we would deal with our sin before God, and that He would send us, because of our obedience, because of His instruction upon our hearts, He would send of His Holy Spirit upon us to transform us, to make us to be His people. The family serves as probably our basic, most social and economic element in our society today. It affects our well-being and is dependent upon, really, our own psychological, spiritual, emotional health. In 2006, the Canadian Census said there was over 8,651,335 families in Canada. Quite a large number. These are family units. However, the traditional family of two parents and a few kids is no longer the norm of what now is labeled a family in Canada. Shocked me when I was looking at these statistics on our Canadian website. It says in 2006, legally married couples with children make up only 34.6% of all families. Well, what is the other percentage? How are these other families, and what are these other families? Lone parent families account for 1 in 4 Canadian families with children today. Today we know the divorce rate is extremely high. Cohabitation is part of our reality in today's family life. Today, as always, the family stands as the most fundamental building block of our society, yet there's a lot of difficulty in our family life. It's deteriorating continually. It's continuing to deteriorate through divorce, separation, and even redefinition. Often it's the children that get the short end of the stick, as it were, in the family unit. Today, as we look at this text in 1 Peter, we also see that the family was an important aspect of the early church. The family was significant enough for Peter and Paul to write texts in the New Testament that encouraged the family, encouraged the wives, encouraged the husbands in way of living godly in the home. So first of all, this morning, I want to address this idea of submission and failure or favor in verse 1 and 2, talking about wives submitting to husbands. Wives, in the same way it says there in verse 1, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence in your lives. Submission and obedience today really are classified as words that are in our, not really in our vernacular. They're kind of seen as bad words, words that we kind of try to sweep under the carpet. We love to think of ourselves as free thinkers, going our own way, doing our own thing in Western society. We don't want to appear to let anyone get the upper hand in a relationship, in a game, in a conversation. We want to appear strong, powerful, and someone not to be messed with. We swim in a competitive environment at school, at work, and yes, even in our home lives. If you're not winning, we might appear weak, and weakness is like waving blood before a shark. We fear for our lives. We fear a shark feeding frenzy on our weakness. If one shark smells the blood of weakness, we think it'll attract the other sharks and we'll be done for. Besides, it's always better to win than lose. It's more fun. The opposite of submission, of course, is to be argumentative or to be critical. Submission is not the idea of not going down without a fight. Testing another's idea with all the possible negative results that could happen because of that idea that's proffered. Making the exchange as difficult as possible before one is willing to actually submit and say, okay, uncle, I'll give that to you. Such exchanges are really tiring. They're hardly constructive in any relationship. Despite our cultures coveting the position of top dog, reality is that submission and giving to others is crucial for building wholesome and wonderful relationships with one another, especially in the family. If we are either winning all the time or losing all the time, there's something definitely wrong with those pictures in our family relationships, in our friendships. If it's always a one-way track in a relationship, there's certainly something wrong either with us or with that other party. Christian wives here, according to Peter, were not to be in subjection like slaves to their husbands, but rather subject to God's will. Subject to God's will. The order for family life in the New Testament times was truly patriarchal. No doubt about it. The man was seen as the head of the house. The man was the educated member of the family. The man was the public figure that represented the family. But if we're to be honest today, that isn't quite so in our context and the way we behave in Western society and many societies around our world. The man's headship is a cultural norm in the New Testament. This isn't true, again, of all cultures. There's matriarchal cultures in our world today. There's egalitarian cultures in our world, and I would more typify our Western culture as more of an egalitarian culture where we exist in an equal footing with one another. Certainly, Peter isn't the only one that encourages wives to submit to the husbands in the New Testament context. Paul lays down rules for wives as well as for husbands. So that to make, what do we make of these directives here in 1 Peter then in way of particularly him saying, wives, submit to your husbands? Well, if we look in the New Testament at Paul's rendition of this in Ephesians 5:22, it says there, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And then in 1 Timothy 2:11, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. The question for the theologians in this regard is whether the biblical culture of the New Testament is prescriptive for the 21st century believer's family and women in kind. In other words, are we to interpret the passages as literal templates for us for the family unit today? What about Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, where it says there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:21, that passage I just read from you was Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:21, just before that in context, says this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a mutuality, you see that in the text, that it's not the women having just to submit and the men are, you know, over the women, and so in that way we are to force our own ideas, our own ideology, our own guidance, and just, no, it says here in 21 that we are to submit to one another. Submission is not just for the female gender, it's for both genders. There's a mutuality and a surrender to one another. After all, isn't this really all the way of love when it comes to living in a loving relationship? It's always a two-way street. We speak and we listen to each other and we submit to one another. To win the favor of an unbelieving husband or a spouse is to win them by grace rather than trying to put them in their place. Secondly, character better than beauty in verse 3 through 6 here. Verse 3, it says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of an inner self, the unfading beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They subjected themselves to their husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. These verses, I think, have been used in way of saying to women then, women should not do elaborate hairstyles, color their hair, do all these kind of things with their hair. No, that is not right. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't wear jewelry, because right here in the text it says, women, do not wear jewelry to adorn yourself, rather to look in the inner person and to prioritize that. Well, it's, I believe, not prescriptive here upon women to say, well, you shouldn't adorn yourselves to make yourselves more beautiful. It's more in way of a priority. A priority sees the inner person as highly more important to you than what you wear and what you look like on the outside. Again, the message towards women, and I believe towards men, is that we can fall equally hard in wrong priorities in our lives. Majoring on those externals is not really gender specific. We can't just say, well, the women have that issue, but us as guys, we don't worry about those things. You know, as we look in the mirror, whew, you know. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. The Lord looks on the heart. The inner self is literally the hidden person, the man of the heart. In biblical psychology, the heart is a central faculty by which man relates to God, by which woman relate to God, the inner self. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and many of you have memorized this in Awana or other places, but trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to the Lord, and He will make your paths straight. There is a submission to God there, an obedience to God that is proffered for us. A quiet and submissive spirit God highly treasures within us, a humility before Him. Husband and wife were getting ready for bed one night, and she was looking in the mirror and said, you know, dear, I appear to be an old woman. My face is all wrinkled. I got fat legs and my arms are all flabby. She turns to her husband and says, tell me something positive to make me feel better about myself. The husband knew that this was a trap. So he thought for longer than a minute. What are my words going to be? He said to himself. And then he came up with it. After scoring his mind for that diplomatic phrase, he said, well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight, dear. A funeral service was held for the husband that next Saturday morning at 10:30 at Dummy Memorial Chapel. Only female friends of the family were invited. Verse 5 and 6 tells us this morning that Peter turns to the Old Testament in way of exhorting women, exhorting us as people. First broadly, and then the example of Sarah. The major characterization of these women who were holy because they were set apart to God was their hope in God. They trusted the promises of God and longed for the messianic salvation. They longed to see Christ come. In so doing, they habitually adorned themselves with inner beauty, humility, gentleness, patience, kindness, love, grace, mercy, faith. Have you ever thought of what it would be like to adorn yourselves with these kind of inner beauty? It's not like getting out a mirror and then, you know, kind of penciling in, or I guess you don't pencil in your lips, but you pencil in your with your lips. You put on lipstick with gentleness, you know, kind of, or pencil in your eyebrows, I guess it is, you know, with faith. Okay, you tell I haven't put on a lot of makeup in my life. How do you adorn yourselves with these things? Well, I got a few ideas here for you. We can adorn ourselves with the inner beauty of God by focusing on words like maybe gentleness, and we can repeat that word to ourselves when we get up in the morning. Gentleness, 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 gentleness. And then maybe we can think about how gentleness is defined. How do I make that a reality in my life? How do I define that for myself that I could live it out properly? And then look for synonyms and antonyms for that word. What is the opposite of gentleness? Have I been behaving like that? Or how can I not behave like that in terms of the antonym? And then in research the word in the Bible. Is there accounts in the Bible of gentleness? And then write the word or carry it in your pocket and then throughout the day just kind of pull it out. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be gentle today. And as you go around and think about your day and you reach into your pocket, oh yeah, I feel that card and pull it out. Gentleness. Gentleness, I'm supposed to be gentle. Okay, work on that. Adorning ourselves. How do we do that? We can do that through some practical methodology in our lives. Writing it on a card, scribbling it on a stone, or putting it on an object, and then continually drawing on it over the course of the day and thinking of the situations that you will encounter of how to apply that in your life. That could really help you in adorning yourself with inner beauty. Inner beauty. Revival in the home happens when each of us adorns our inner world and encourages other family members to do the same. Finally, treatment can hinder our prayers in verse 7. And kind of briefly here to the husbands, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Peter's instructions really to the husbands here seem very truncated, but if you look in the book of Ephesians with Paul, you see they're kind of the opposite. And so the phrase here, in the same way, has significance to us. The husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Doesn't mean to do exactly as suggested to the wife in terms of makeup and all the rest of that. Rather, it has to do with the idea of the Spirit. As the wife has a commitment in the relationship of marriage and should be treated in high regard in way of their relationship together. Be considerate in general terms, having a wide degree of application. Being considerate. That could be involving with doing dishes, cleaning the toilet, looking after the kids, doing innumerable things. Treating them with respect, it says in our text, treating them with respect, honoring and regarding them as equal. Then it talks about being a weaker partner. What is that about? Weaker partner. Well, it has really nothing to do with intellect. We can't say women are intellectually weaker than us because we know they get PhD degrees and postdocs as much as men do. They beat you at Scrabble and all kinds of things. Maybe even, yes, those television video games. So you can't proclaim that you are the stronger sex because of those things. But probably physically, I think we could say, and we can attest that probably by the Olympics and other competitive sports events, because men have to run harder, faster, stronger, and lift bigger, heavier weights in their weight class. So maybe this idea comes in way of physical prowess and strength. But certainly, I have to say this, you know, for women, being in the labor delivery room with my wife, I was just amazed at the strength of women when it comes to childbearing. And I thought, as I was laying on the floor, that, man, women are so much stronger than us. Co-heirs of the gracious gift of life. Women will have an equal share in the age to come, an equal share in this age in experience of the grace of God along with man. Men must finally remember and prepare, perhaps most importantly, prepare for dealing with their own selfishness and egotism and harshness, because it says here that nothing will hinder your prayers, that nothing might hinder your prayers. So if we are so harsh with our wives, with our family members, and egotistical in our mannerisms and the way we deal with our family members, even that relationship with God, which is so precious to us as men, will be broken. God will not listen to us. God will not hear. So we are to find in way of our relationship, even with God, by the way we treat one another in our families. And I know we live in families that come from places of brokenness. Even amongst us, we deal with single-parent families, we deal with divorce, we deal with separation and difficulty that we keep, maybe try to sweep it under the carpet, but somehow it crawls out because it affects us and damages us and hurts us so deeply in that closest and intimate relationship of our family relations. Folks, we need to give ourselves and each other space to be who we are as injured and hurt people, that we might feel the healing power of each other's lives blessing us and encouraging us to continue the good fight, and know that the Holy Spirit can come even on us in our deepest wounds, in those family relational wounds, and heal us and conform us into Christ's image. Revival in the home requires us to seek all the more to live out our faith and call upon the Holy Spirit for His aid. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before You. We pray, revive Your family. Your family, the church, revive Your family, the family that involves each of us in those close, intimate relationships, through the bonds of marriage, through the bonds that we've committed to in relationship with one another. We ask that Your power and Your Holy Spirit will reside in the home, in us. May You get the glory in all of our lives. Even come now, Lord Jesus, and bless Your church. Amen.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Lives, just ask God to purify our hearts, and let's become a people that seeks for holiness. Would you just join me in standing, sing this song one more time?
Purify my heart, cleanse me from
amazing grace. Take me with your arms spread wide. Take me like an orphan child. Never let go, never leave my side. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. I am overwhelmed with a joy divine. Love like this sets our hearts on fire. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I'm holding on. I am. I am. Resurrection song to sing today.
This is my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why it's to you I run.
This is
my resurrection song. This is my hallelujah come. This is why. No space that His love can reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace.
I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of the storm, I am holding on. I am holding on to you. As we sing this one last song, God's light has shined upon us today, and so we go out as people that also reflect this light.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me.
Say,
shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine.
Receive of the Lord's benediction upon your hearts this morning. To Him who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I have you turn in the bulletin to just a few brief announcements this morning. Just encourage you to come down and join us for coffee following the service. We have a snack time and a coffee time downstairs. Also, you note that there's a few Sunday school classes involved after the coffee time at the 11:45 hour. We have our January-February financial report on the back of the bulletin and also out in the foyer. Thank you for giving towards the ministries and needs of our church. There are boxes in the back of the sanctuary that you can drop offering envelopes into. If you can't find an offering envelope, we can help you with that. Just see somebody at the reception desk, and we do have them there, or maybe even in the pews as well. So grab them where you can find them. Also, the Awana program is taking a spring break. We do have tax services, so if you know somebody of low income and they need some help with their taxes, please let them know they can phone the church and book an appointment for that. Next Sunday, we'll have Tom and Sally here. They'll be ministering God's words to us, but also on the Saturday evening, 7 o'clock sharp, we have our regular Saturday evening worship. Tom and Sally will be at that time. And they'll be sharing with us some of their ministry experience in the place of China and what that has meant to them. They have two very adorable, cute kids. I might even just come to see the kids. I mean, they are so cute. Ray has been accepted at ABS, that's in Hong Kong. And so we can remember Ray as he's continuing to look to doing some Master Divinity studies in ABS in the fall. So thank God that he was able to get in. And he's very challenged in way of the language. Of course, he speaks and understands Cantonese, but writing and other ways is quite difficult for him. So remember him in that regard. Also, a new church website will be up and running this coming week. Pastor Joe's been working hard on that. He's our tech-savvy pastor amongst all of us. So he's helped us a lot in putting that together. So if you've been looking online and saying, where is the church website? It's been in construction, and it will be up again this week. So be prepared for that. New and refreshed and renewed. May you be blessed as you go out in God's favor and God's Holy Spirit ministering through you. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads in silent prayer and then be dismissed.